You know, we've been going through Romans the last few months, and we've come to really what is really a difficult section, which is Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And there are many ways that you can approach this passage, because Paul really, in the whole section of Romans, takes some time out to talk about the people Israel. And we can talk about them for a little bit, but in the midst of that, I thought that would be more applicable to where we are is to see the character of God as we talk about the people of Israel. To see His heart. To see who He really is, especially when He deals with a group of people that are rebelling against Him. We see Paul's heart in that as well. And so what I want us to focus on today is that we're going to talk about a group of people who had everything, who had the promises of God, who were His chosen people, but who chose to reject. But yet in the midst of that, we're going to see God's grace. We're going to see God's grace. And for some of you here today, you maybe need to get a glimpse of that for your life. You maybe need to get a glimpse of the grace of God for you. Because so many of us, again, as I've mentioned before, we have this misconception about God. That He's just out there, squash me. And He's out to have your engine blow up because you didn't do the right thing here or there. And you know, I'm not sure where we get that kind of thinking, but I know that that thinking's not right. Maybe sometimes that kind of thinking comes from pastors over the years. If you don't give, God's going to get it from you. And we don't see that in the Bible. And what I want you to see specifically as we look in these three chapters over the next couple of weeks, we've already looked at the first part of chapter 9 last week, we're going to see the heart of God. Here's a group of people that are flat out choosing to reject Him, but I want you to notice God's grace towards them. He still cares. He still cares. So notice with me, verse 30, as we go into chapter 10 to verse 21. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. For as it were, by works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on Him in whom they have not believed? How then shall they believe of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, and I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. As we look at the nation Israel here, and as we kind of focus on that whole issue of the grace of God and out of His character here, I want us to notice several things. First of all, I want us to notice, first of all, from verse 30 all the way to verse 4 of chapter 10, some misguided actions on the part of Israel. Some misguided actions. First thing I want you to notice is that even though they had the promises, even though they were God's special people, they did some things that were wrong. They did some things that guided them in the wrong direction. And so I want you to notice, first of all, they seek redemption through works. They seek redemption through works. Even though they had the law, and even though they had all of God's promises and everything, they still tried to gain stuff by their righteous actions. Notice what he says in verse 30. But what shall we say, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness? Here's Israel. They're doing all the right stuff, but they can't quite get it. They can't quite do the right thing to gain God's favor. Are you here today? Trying to get the attention of God by your actions? Oh, we do little things, don't we? We might actually give a little bit more in the offering plate. We might actually volunteer to work in an area that we don't really want to volunteer to work in. We might actually be nice to somebody we don't want to be nice to. And then we'll say to God, well, you know, God, did you see I did those things? Yeah, He saw you did those things, but that does not gain favor with God. Sort of like this article back in 1994. The Chicago Tribune had an article titled, 14 Hours and 9 Miles Later. According to the article, in the summer of 1994, Marquio da Silva, a love-struck Brazilian artist, was distraught over the breakup of his 4-year relationship with his girlfriend, Katina. So he decided that he would win her back by a gesture of love that was of great devotion. So here's what he decided to do. He tried to win her back by walking on his knees for 9 miles with pieces of car tires tied to his kneecaps. The 21-year-old shuffled along for 14 hours before he reached her home in Santos, Brazil. He was cheered on by motorists and passers-by, but when he reached the end of his marathon of love, almost exhausted, he found that the 19-year-old girl that he was in love with wasn't too impressed. In fact, she wasn't even home. She left to avoid seeing him. Some of us try to do the same thing when we try to impress God. That's what Israel was doing. Israel thought that they could impress God by saying they were Israel. Israel thought that they could impress God by doing all the right stuff, wearing the right clothes, going to temple, making sacrifices all the time. Paul says that that didn't gain them anything. They didn't gain any righteousness from that. In fact, you remember the words of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels? His sharpest rebuke were for those who did all the religious stuff because their heart wasn't in it. And see, that's the issue. Their heart wasn't in it. They did it without faith. They did it without faith. Notice what it says in verse 32. Why? Because they did not seek it by what? Faith. They did it without faith. And so then we see in verse 32 to 33, the next point I want you to see is that they cannot accept Jesus. They just have a hard time with that. They cannot accept Jesus. They can't. Notice what it says, verse 32. For they stumble at that stumbling stone. Who's the stumbling stone? Jesus. Notice what he says. He's quoting in verse 33. He's quoting a passage. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. But they couldn't get past who Jesus was. He didn't match up to their concept of a Messiah. He threatened their whole way of doing things, and so they crucified him. And even though he was raised from the dead, they refused to believe. They just could not accept him. They couldn't accept who he was, nor did they want to. And with that, when we get to verses 1 to 4 now, the next point I want you to see about their misguided actions is that they are not willing to submit to God. They're not willing to submit to God. Notice he says something about their zealousness. He says, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, they want God, but they want Him on their terms. They have an understanding of God, but it's an understanding on their terms. They don't want God on His terms. And see, we've got that problem today in our churches, don't we? We have that problem in our lives. Let's get a little bit more specific. We want God. Oh, we want His blessing. We want His provision. We want His healing. We want God. But we want you, God, on our terms. We're just like Israel. We're not willing to submit to what God says for our lives. We're not willing to submit to Him every area of our life. We hold back from Him. What areas are you holding back from Him this morning? What areas are you not willing to submit to Him this morning? Is it a relationship? Maybe it's a decision that you need to make. And you know what you need to do, and you know what God says you need to do in that area, but you're not willing to do it. In fact, you've got your MasterCard of forgiveness ready to say, well, Lord, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. They weren't willing to submit. And so Paul points out to them that as his heart goes out to the people of Israel, they just couldn't get it right. I think it's interesting, we can't pass over it, because I want you to notice again the desire part. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Let me just kind of bring it up again. Remember Paul? Here he is, just a chapter before. He's saying that he wished he would go to hell, exchange their position, and go to hell so that they might get saved. He wanted them to get saved that much. He wanted them to come to know Jesus that much that he would be willing to go to hell. Here he is again now in verse 1 of chapter 10. He's saying, my heart's desire is that Israel might get saved. Do you have that kind of desire for the loved ones in your life who don't know Jesus? Even in spite of all of their misguided actions, even in spite of the fact that they're rejecting Jesus, even in spite of the fact that they think they're gaining God through their own actions, gaining God's favor, and, you know, He'll be okay with them because they're doing all the right stuff. They hadn't axe murdered anybody lately. Is your heart's desire for your loved ones, for your neighbors, for those you work with, that they come to know Jesus? Or you just take them for granted. You just take them for granted that they're going to be there. His desire was for them to come to know Christ. And then I want you to notice now, we get to verses 5 through 15, the offer of grace. Here's the mercy of God, because for most of us, can I be honest with you? God is beyond you and I, because if somebody rejected us, Somebody did us wrong. Are you going to keep reaching out to them? No. You'd write them off. You're out of here, bud. Maybe put up with you for a little bit, but after a while you've reached the boiling point, forget it. No more. And notice something. Israel, they have not just a couple of years, they've got hundreds of years of rejecting God under their belt. But I want you to notice that even in spite of who they are, God still has grace towards them. He still wants to see them come to Him. Look what it says there. Look, first thing I want you to notice, He's pointing it out, the offer of grace, verse 5 through 13, He makes this point. Notice what He says. He's again pointing out Moses there. But then here's what He gets to. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him, he will not be put to shame. Here's what He's saying. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. He's still making that offer. He's still reaching out to them. Still reaching out to you. Still reaching out to me. You think about how often we reject Him. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Aren't you glad that He just doesn't write us off the first time? He has every right to write us off. He has every right to get fed up with us and to say, okay, that's enough. I've had enough. I've put up with them enough. George, come on. When are you going to get your act together? But yet He keeps showing grace. And so here He is, in spite of their actions, He's presenting to them who again? Jesus. You believe on Jesus. If you believe on Jesus, you'll be saved. All you need to do is confess with your heart, with your mouth, with your heart, that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Notice something. It's a key point there. Notice something he says this, with the heart one believes. He's not talking with the mind, because a lot of people believe with the mind, but they're not saved. He's talking about with the heart here. With the heart. And so then, here's what he's saying. With that offer of grace now, and he's presenting it, he then says, well, but how are they going to hear it? How are they going to hear it? In fact, notice what he specifically says there. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And just stop for a moment. You can replace that word there with a proclaimer. Because immediately you're going to say, well, that's your job, George. It says preacher right there. No, here's the point, and this is the next point I want you to see. There needs to be a messenger of grace. There needs to be a messenger of grace. See, the grace of God is that He sends people with His message of love, with His message of Jesus Christ to others so that they can hear. And by hearing, they can believe. And by believing, they can be saved. That's grace. The grace of God is that He would send somebody to proclaim to you. Hey, I want you to think for a moment. Those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to think back to the person that He used in your life. Because it wasn't an angel that appeared to you. Everybody recognize that? What? I don't think there's any angel experiences in here. And if you do have one, we need to talk. Okay? But I don't think there was an angel that came to you with a message of the gospel and you responded to that. They may have been like an angel. But for all of us here who have responded to the gospel, it was a human being, someone who came, and someone whose testimony was lived out before you, and someone who shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might have been a pastor, it might have been your mother, it might have been a grandparent, it might have been a friend. For me, it was a fellow engineering student at the University of South Carolina. God sent a messenger of grace. But the point of the passage is as we think about these folks who are misguided, and we think about the grace of God who's being offered to them, he then makes a shift in his thinking and says, but yet how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear unless there's someone to proclaim it? How are they going to hear unless there's someone to share it? I want you to think for a moment. Think in your mind right now. I want you to think specifically of some groups of friends that you have. Friends, relatives, people you work with, your neighbors. How are they going to hear about Jesus? How are they going to hear? Is it going to be through Billy Graham? His ministry is at the close now. Charles Stanley, just got to make sure they watch at the right time. Christian radio? To be honest with you, most only people who listen to Christian radio are Christians. How are they going to hear? How's the guy you're working with going to hear about Jesus? Your pastor's going to come by and see him? Your pastor doesn't even know who he is? How are they going to know? Unless there's somebody to proclaim it. See, that's the point. The grace of God is there. It's showing. He's showing His mercy. He's showing His grace. But you know what? You're the vehicle of that grace. You're the vehicle of that mercy to those people that you know around you. You are. You've got to share. You've got to share. Even in spite of their misguided actions. Even in spite of, well, you know, I would like to share with them too much, but boy, they are really, they're kind of whacked out a little bit on some things there. And, you know, they just think they're okay with God because of all this other stuff. But I know, no, you need to be patient with them. You need to love them. You need to reach out to them. You need to share with them. But here's the thing. So many of us, when we think about sharing, we have this concept in our mind that we're talking about taking the Bible and beating them over the head. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. But be a messenger of grace. But even in spite of that, now I've got to prepare you because now we go on in verse 16 through 21, the end of the chapter. Paul's going to quote several passages of Scripture and give us through the illustration that even though God shows this grace, even though He speaks to people like you and I to share with them about the gospel, there's still a rejection. There's still a rejection. Let me just go ahead and say this. It's not going to be easy. Chances are you won't be accepted. Chances are they're not going to accept what you say. Chances are they're going to say things like this. Well, you know, that's really nice, but that's your belief and I have my own. And chances are a majority of them will not respond. But even in spite of that, I want you to notice the rejection. Here's what he says, verse 16. Notice what he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Not all respond to the gospel. Not all respond to the gospel. They're not all going to respond, and you and I need to understand that. Well, you say, well, why do we need to bother them? Because God's still showing grace. You're part of His vehicle for showing grace and mercy. See, that's how awesome God is. Even in spite of the fact that He's being rejected, even in spite of the fact that He's being mocked, and even in spite of the fact that there's this guy out in Nebraska that wants to sue Him, even in spite of all of that, He's still showing grace. He's still showing grace because He has people like you and I that He works through to communicate that grace to them. But He just wants us to understand that as you show that grace, you're going to be rejected because not everybody's going to accept the gospel. Not everybody's going to accept the gospel. And notice something. Here's how it's rejected. Verse 18 through 19, look at what verse 18 says. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world. But I say, did Moses not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. It is rejected with hearing and understanding. It's not just an issue that they don't understand what you're talking about. It is rejected with hearing and understanding. You know, as I was studying for this passage, my mind went back 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was 21 years old. I was in the South Carolina Army National Guard, and we had to do our annual training at Fort Pickett, Virginia. And I was in a signal battalion at that time. And we were in the woods for 2 weeks, and after about a week and a half, they decided that we should go in and get a shower. And we were smelling ripe. And I was a chaplain's assistant at that time. And so they took a truck and they had a bunch of us on the back of the truck and they were driving us into the barracks, which were our barracks to stay in, but we'd never seen them yet, so that we could get a shower. And on the back of the truck, I'm interacting with this young black man who is a specialist in E4, and I'm sharing the gospel with him. And I'm offering him the grace of God freely, and that God will reach down into his life and save him. And I don't remember everything I said to him, but I will always remember the response. He looked at me, and he said, I hear what you're saying, Cannon. Because in the Army, you call yourself by your last name. He said, I hear what you're saying, Cannon, but he said, I can't go back and tell my woman I can't lay with her anymore. You say, what's that got to do with salvation? It's got everything to do. See, he understood that if he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he was going to have to turn his back on some of the things of his past life. And he wasn't willing to do that. 20 years later, I still pray that God would somehow speak to him. He understood. But he rejected. See, there are people who are rejecting you. It's not that they don't understand Jesus. It's not that they don't understand the free gift of grace that he's given to them. It's simply because they don't want to give up what they got right now. See, that was what Israel's problem was. They rejected Jesus not because of Jesus. Oh, they liked Jesus, the miracle worker. As long as Jesus would fit into their religious system. If they can have everything that they want to have and make sure that you keep those Gentiles out too, Jesus, because they need to go to hell. You see, that wasn't Jesus' plan, and so they had a hard time with that. A hard time with that. You know, they still have a hard time with that today. One of the biggest obstacles for Jews coming to know Jesus Christ, can I tell you what the biggest obstacle is? It's you sitting right here. They can't grasp the reality that grace would be shown to you and I as Gentiles. It's a hard thing for them. And so it is rejected with hearing and understanding. But now I want you to notice verse 20 and 21. Interesting. Notice what he says. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel he says, all the days long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrite people. Notice again verse 21. All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrite people. Here's the final thing I want you to notice. Even though they reject, and even though they reject with understanding and knowledge, even though they've heard, even though they continue to reject, here's the grace of God. He, God, still what? Still extends mercy. God still extends mercy. Isn't that amazing? Even though he sends people by their path with the gospel for them to hear about Jesus, even though they may even have an understanding and they reject with an understanding and knowledge, he still has mercy, and it says what? He still extends his hand out to a disobedient people. That's the grace of God. He's still reaching out. He's still reaching out. Some of you here today, you need to hear that just for yourself. Because you've got this thought that's entered into your mind that God has given up on you. Maybe you've not done right. Maybe you've made a mistake. And you thought for some reason that you're disqualified from the relationship with God. But now He has rejected you. Look, if He's still extending mercy to those who don't know Him and are rejecting Him continually, you think He'll extend mercy to you who do know Him? That's the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wonderful thing. You say, okay, George, where do we go with this? Three things I want you to consider. Number one, I want to ask you, you've got to ask yourself this question. Are you looking to your actions for salvation? Are you looking to your actions for salvation? Are you looking to yourself? That's what Israel was doing. They were looking to themselves for righteousness, but they couldn't attain it because faith was not a part of it. Are you like that? You say, well, why are you even asking us this question? Because George Barna did a poll a few years ago in which he polled those who claimed to be born-again Christians. And here's the interesting thing he found. That a third of them, that's one out of every three, believed that they were going to heaven, they had salvation for some other reason aside from Jesus. That it wasn't Jesus or Christ alone. It was maybe their good actions or their giving or their church attendance or their pedigree that they were born into a family of Christians or whatever. And for some reason they thought they were going to heaven because of all of that stuff. And they called themselves born again. So I got to ask you that question. Are you like Israel? Are you resting in that you've always been a Christian? Or are you resting in because you know, your grandma, your grandpa, your great-grandpa, or you can trace it back a whole lot of years. Or you're resting in your good actions, that you've done all the right things, and every time the door's open, you're here. Are you resting in your works for salvation? Because if you are, my friends, you've got a problem, because that's not going to save you. It's not being baptized. In fact, I've met folks that want to be baptized over and over again. Baptism, all it is just a public profession of the faith that you've made in Jesus Christ. It doesn't gain you any favor with God. Salvation, my friend, the next point then, salvation is only available through Jesus. Salvation is only available through Jesus. You have to accept what He has done for you. What did He do for you? He died for you. Took upon your sins, paid the price so that the wrath of God would be satisfied against you. He did it all. Your acceptance with God has nothing to do with you. Your acceptance with God has to do with Jesus and what He's done. Salvation is only through Jesus. And then finally, here's the next thing. Become a messenger of grace. Become a messenger of grace. As God has shown mercy and grace to you, show mercy and grace to others. You say, well, you know, George, I've been trying for so long. I've been sharing with them. It's been 20 years now. And they still haven't. Look, how long did He have to put up with you before you came to know Him? You can put up with Him. You can put up with them. Do you have that kind of heart for the people in your life? Do you have that kind of heart that God would use you? Become a messenger of grace. And so I'm not like you, George. I don't know all that theology and stuff, and I don't know that I could share with him. That's fine. You don't have to. Then invite him out to something. Somebody else will talk to him. Well, I'm not sure if he'll come. It's interesting. I saw another interesting statistic. Did you know that 2/3 of people said they would come to church if they were invited? But we don't invite, do we? Some of you are saying, well, yeah, I've been inviting, but they've been saying no. Well, you've probably got that 1/3. There's another 2/3 out there that you need to talk to. Become a messenger of grace. Let your heart break for the people in your life that need Jesus. Even the guy at work you don't like. What do you mean? Think of what he would be like if he got Jesus. He might change. You might change. Come to Christ and say, Lord, use me. That's what's wrong. We don't want to be used anymore. We're so focused in our own little world. It's like, what's going on today with me? And all around us, people are going to hell. All around us. Become a messenger of grace. Let's pray.